The Start Your Own Business Podcast. Hear inspiring startup stories and get reliable expert advice on how to start your business and get off to the best possible start. Brought to you by Startup Donut, helping small businesses succeed.
Hi there. You're listening to the Start Your Own Business Podcast and my name's Fiona Pryor. Thanks for joining us. It's often said that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. But is there any truth in that when it comes to writing a business plan, or is it just another hackneyed old trope? In this episode, we'll be discussing business plans, when and why you need one, what your business plan should contain, and how you can use your business plan to grow your business. My special guest is Nicola McKenzie, co-founder of Venture Planner. Venture Planner is an AI-powered platform that enables small business owners to create their own professional business plans and forecasts without typing a word. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Venture Planner's not Nicola's first business. She's founded several successful businesses over the years, so it's safe to say she's been there, seen it, and got the t-shirt. But before we meet Nicola, let's find out a bit more about Venture Planner.
If you need to write a business plan, you need to try Venture Planner. Just answer the questions and watch as it transforms your answers into a comprehensive business plan, tailored specifically to your vision. And the best part, you don't have to type a word. The platform is really easy to use, but it can handle the most complex business models and financial calculations. Accurate cash flow forecasts and profit and loss projections can be automatically generated in minutes. Starting a business can be challenging, but Venture Planner makes every step easier. From outlining your promotional strategy to identifying your customer personas, Venture Planner will analyse your goals and provide real-time suggestions. It's like having a team of experts at your fingertips. Join thousands of successful entrepreneurs who have already embraced our cutting-edge technology. Go to ventureplanner.ai now to get started, and when you upgrade, use the code DONUT to receive a 10% discount.
It's time to meet our expert, Nicola McKenzie. Nicola is the founder of AI-enabled business plan platform, Venture Planner. Hi there, Nicola. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Fiona. Good to be with you.
So let's dive straight in with the basics, Nicola. What is a business plan and do you always need one?
Sure. Well, the way that I would explain a business plan is that it's something that you should do before starting a business. It's going to help you avoid mistakes, because when you're starting a business, it's quite easy to get caught up in, the excitement of things.
Yeah.
And I think that the business owner or the business creator is always often more excited than everybody else. So it's really about, I've been there. It's really about validating your idea and hoping that, you can hope that everyone's as excited as you. But if there isn't a ready market for it, then, your plans are useless. So by having a plan and making a plan before you start, it will help you to avoid as many mistakes as possible. That's for startups. Now, I also think that business plans are hugely overlooked by established business as well.
Yeah.
And there is a huge need, in my personal opinion, for those businesses to also be creating plans, because when you're an established business, it's really about looking at the opportunities and how you intend to grow. So if you're an established business, I'd refer to it more as a growth plan for a startup business, to do it before you start the business and help you to avoid mistakes. And it really serves as a roadmap for the business's future, looking at not just how you intend to reach your goals, but looking at the detail in terms of the roadmap and how you're going to get there. So essentially detailing how you'll achieve the success that you hope to.
Yeah. So what would you say to someone who's starting a side hustle? They've got an idea. They make, craft Christmas decorations. What would you say to them saying, well, I'm only a starter, going to be running a side hustle. Why would I need a business plan?
Well, even if it's a side hustle, presumably you're going to be spending a lot of time on this side hustle.
Yeah.
So again, before you invest, whether it's hundreds or thousands of hours into this new venture, you need to test the market to make sure that it makes sense. Because even if it's a side hustle, presumably you're still doing it for some kind of profit.
Yeah.
So again, before investing that time, it's just about validating that idea, understanding that target market, and again, increase your chances of success. And I think that's important, whether it's just a side hustle or whether it's your main venture, because a side hustle, presumably, again, you've probably got hopes that one day it could become your main hustle.
Yeah, it's about making sure that it's going to be worth your while. You know, if you're going into it because you want to top up your income, making sure that actually it will cover the costs of you making the product or the time that you're spending on it.
Exactly. And it's also a very, very essential tool for helping to manage cash flow in those early stages.
Yeah.
And again, that's important, whether it's a side hustle or your main venture. And also, sorry, Fiona, you did also ask a question on the back of the first question in terms of, do you always need a business plan?
Yeah.
And I didn't answer that, so I will cover that if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you know, there is no requirement to have one as a mandatory thing, but it is a large reason, I think, the absence of a business plan, why it's 90% of businesses that fail in that first year, because they haven't had a clear roadmap to how they are going to get to that end goal. You know, it's like if you set out to drive somewhere in your car, you don't just drive aimlessly, do you? Mm. You have a clear map on what routes you're going to take to get to that destination. A business plan is exactly the same. And as well, I think that sometimes people just assume, or there's a misconception, that it's purely just if I need to seek investment. And again, that's not the case. It should be there to make sure that you're confident that all this time and effort, your business idea will work, and it will help you to spot some of those things that perhaps you would have overlooked without setting that plan in place.
Yeah. You mentioned back at the beginning about established businesses also needing a business plan from time to time. Can you give me some examples of when that might be the case?
Well, my, again, in the businesses that I run, we tend to do a business plan annually.
Right.
So when you're running a business, of course, the market changes, the threats to the business change, the opportunities to the business change, depending on market conditions and many other factors. So when you're an established business, it's important that you are regularly evolving and updating that business plan to ensure that it is still current and reflective of the current environment that you're operating in.
Yeah. And I suppose from our experience, you know, we've often seen questions where people might be launching a new product line, or they're deciding that they're going to go into a new market. And we would advise them at those points to go, actually, what am I doing? What are the opportunities? What are the risks? How am I going to get there? What do I need to bring in? What additional skills and resources do I need to enable me to achieve that? So, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, just giving you a specific example, one of the businesses that I run is a mortgage brokerage. And of course, with everything that's been happening with interest rates, we've had to change our roadmap quite significantly because, you know, the market is very volatile. So, you know, had we have not reassessed the threats, that could have left us in a position where, you know, we've got much less clients.
Yeah.
But instead, what we've done is realized, obviously, that business will change. So we've adapted to suit the current environment.
Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned that you've started several businesses. Thinking right back to the very beginning when you started your first business, how did you know how to go about the process of writing a business plan? How did you do that? Because obviously there are lots of different routes to creating a business plan. How did you start yours?
Well, that's a really good question, Fiona. And I'm ashamed to say, no, we did actually do a business plan. But I'm talking 13 years ago now. I had no experience in business when I set up. And we were very young and naive, if I'm honest with you. And we only had to write a business plan because we are regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the initial business we set up. It's a financial services based business. So as part of the requirement to get authorization, our regulator insisted that we had a business plan.
Right.
So if I'm honest with you, we did it. And it was very much going through the motions. And it was a tick box exercise. We were not really thinking about what to put in the plan. It was really just to get that sign off, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
And also, even if I think that even if we had have paid more a thought and attention to the plan at the time, because of the lack of experience that we had, I'm not convinced that we would have been able to thoroughly create the best plan anyway, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
So that initial plan, like I say, was a tick box exercise to get that sign off. And I'll be honest with you, that first 5 years in business, whilst we still did manage to build a very successful business that still trades today, but we made so many mistakes in that first 5 years that I think had we have put in place a well thought through plan, I think we could have avoided perhaps not all of those mistakes, but the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
You know, for example, originally our business model was to take on self-employed contractors.
Right.
And so we built the business in the first 18 months with 10 advisors, all on a self-employed basis. That was probably the biggest mistake we made initially. We had to redraft our whole model and then get rid of those people because they were not serving the business well at all, and then rebuild the business based on employed advisors.
Yeah.
Again, if we had have thought about all of this, thought about you know, the commission structure of a self-employed versus an employed advisor and mapped that out thoroughly, I think that's one of the huge mistakes that we could have avoided. But again, I think it's about getting support with that business plan. As I mentioned, if you're new to business, you possibly don't have the foresight to put in all of the elements that you need, and that is where a tool like Venture Planner can really help support businesses.
So we're saying really that the benefit of having a business plan is to help you spot potential oversights or mistakes in your thinking and you know, threats that you might not have identified otherwise.
Exactly. And make sure that you've thought about who the market is and you've tailored that product to suit that market and that there is a ready market for that product or service.
Yeah. We've talked about the threats and the, you know, the benefits of creating a business plan. When it comes to the actual business plan, then you're writing one. How long would you expect a business plan to be if you're just starting at your business for the first time?
I would say for micro businesses or startups, then typically the length of a business plan would be somewhere between 15 and 30 pages. You know, it should have enough detail to convey what the business's concept is, market analysis, strategies, and financial projections. But again, it doesn't need to be to a level of detail where it's overwhelming to the reader. It doesn't need to be a load of waffle, essentially. So it needs to be concise, but I think to make it comprehensive enough to cover all of the right elements, I would say somewhere between the 15 and 30 pages would be a good starting point.
And what are the essential elements? What are the things that you can't miss out of a business plan?
Well, I would say that the business plan needs to have a clear description of the business. So what are the products or services? Who is the target market? And what is the USP of the business? You know, what is going to make your business stand out to the next business in that particular industry?
Yeah.
A huge part of it is, of course, analysing the market. So you need to make sure that there is a full understanding of the industry you're in, who the target market is, their demographics, any trends, and also making sure that you've analysed what's in that space already. So who are the competitors? There definitely needs to be a marketing analysis in there as well.
Yeah.
To look at, again, how are you going to actually reach the customers that you intend to? Again, no matter how great a product or service is, if people don't know it exists, then you're not going to have a successful business.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's something that I think is often overlooked, but having a marketing strategy in the plan is super crucial. Pricing strategies as well, because again, how often do you hear about startups, they'll price a product incorrectly? It might be too expensive for the target market. Again, that can lead to failure. Similarly, if you've not worked out what your margins are and you've undercut the pricing, that can obviously be hugely problematic as well.
Yeah.
And I'll come on to that in a moment, but the financial projections is obviously a really key element of it. But also looking at if there are managers involved in the business or if it's just a director, co-founders, what are their expertise, responsibilities, what's the organisational structure. But financial projections is the main reason why a lot of startups fail, I would say.
Yeah.
It needs to have a proper indication of how the business is going to manage cash flow and how the business is going to financially be sustainable. Because if it's not financially sustainable, again, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So how do you make sure that the figures that you've put in there are realistic and achievable?
That's a really good question, Fiona. And I think when it's a startup, you know, it can be very difficult. But again, I think that making sure that the product or service is priced realistically in the first place, that's a key thing. And I would say that making sure the product is priced well comes down to your market research.
Yep.
testing the market to see, you know, are they going to respond well to this pricing level? Get thoughts and feedback from who is in your target market to work out if it's realistic in the first place.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, it's about looking at, okay, how many units is realistic to sell? But I would also advise looking at best case, worst case, and then realistic case, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think looking at best, worst case, and then somewhere in the middle in terms of what you think is realistic, if you can cover all of those bases and you've still got a viable model, then again, I think that shows that you're probably working with something that is going to be successful.
Yeah. So it's about testing it out. It's, you know, maybe doing a pop-up shop for a while, or, you know, a market stall. Who's buying your products? You know, are they happy with the prices,
exactly,
the range that you're offering, how many they would buy, how often they would repeat buy from you? Because ideally, you don't just want to sell once, you want to sell again and again and again. So you've got a stream of money coming in over time.
Definitely. And again, just using an example of a startup that failed to do this, I'm sure probably listeners may have heard of this business, Juicero.
Right.
A startup in America, and they raised $120 million in initial investment.
Right.
Which on the face of it sounds like this is a really great idea if you've managed to raise $120 million, you know.
If only.
So you've clearly managed to convince someone that you're onto a winner. But anyway, the product itself just didn't work. Essentially, it was a juice machine where they promised that it would juice much quicker than, you know, just a regular manual juicer, shall we say. But it turned out there was an article in Bloomberg News that basically said that users of the product were squeezing the juice quicker than the machine. And this machine cost $400
blimey,
per unit. Yeah. So the business failed. But like I say, had they have properly done a prototype, tested the market, you know, given people the product to get their feedback, then again, that's probably a simple thing that could have saved a lot of heartache, I'd imagine.
It's like you say, it's about not getting carried away with your initial idea. It's a new business, new venture for you. You get excited. You've got this great idea. And actually, you don't think of all the what ifs. I mean, I'm down in the West Country and we've got a lot of seaside businesses. And, you know, it's very easy to assume that you're going to be in business all year round. But actually, for most businesses here, they're not. They're seasonal businesses. And so if you're planning on being open for business 365 days of the year and actually you get a bad summer, or, you know, there's cheap holidays somewhere else, you're going to struggle. So it's about being realistic.
Definitely. And like I say, planning for the best and worst case.
Yeah. So we've talked about the finances. What sort of goals would you expect to see a business set in a business plan?
Well, I would expect to see a mix of short-term and long-term goals, covering, again, various different aspects, such as the revenue targets, the market share growth, time scales as well, customer acquisition, what are the plans for expansions. But I also think one of the key points with setting goals is that the goals should be SMART goals. So we're talking about they should be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. If a goal isn't those five things, then again, you've possibly gone wrong somewhere. The goal needs to be set, but it also, you need to make sure that you're accountable.
Yeah.
And without a deadline, you know, obviously it's very difficult to be accountable. So definitely when setting goals, it's important that they are SMART goals.
Yeah, that you're not just drifting.
Exactly.
And talking about growth, do all businesses need to have a strategy for growth?
Well, I think that depends on what kind of business you're running, you know. I think, again, it comes down to you looking at initially, what are your plans? How ambitious are you with those plans? For some people, like you say, they're setting up a side hustle and that's all they ever want it to be. And that's fine. But if you do have high hopes for your business, then yes, most definitely, there needs to be a very clear strategy in place in terms of how you're going to scale the business. Because once business is past that initial startup phase, the next biggest challenge for the majority of business is actually scaling it.
Yeah.
And again, that is down to what plan is in place to help you to scale it. So, you know, how are you going to allocate the resources? Okay, that's great. You've set up, you've been going for 6 or 12 months now, you've managed to start a profitable business, but how are you then going to reinvest those funds to make it scalable? Again, you don't just want to aimlessly be throwing money into any place. You need to plan, where are your resources best spent?
Yeah.
Is it on marketing? Is it on developing the product further? That all needs to be worked out. And again, without planning that, I don't see how successfully you would. It's like you're gambling, isn't it? Without a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
The executive summary, that's a bit I think that lots of, you know, first time startups worry about, because that's the bit that kind of gets read first. You know, if you're pitching to investors, mm-hmm. that's the bit that most of them will read through, and they'll make a snap decision whether there's enough interest for them to want to read further. How important is it in your experience to make sure that it's engaging, that all the numbers stack up, that everything kind of makes sense?
Incredibly important, because you're exactly right, Fiona. The executive summary is what sets the tone for the entire business plan. So it should be engaging, it should be compelling, and it should be accurate, and it should be coherent. Now, I do appreciate not everyone is necessarily naturally the best writer in the world. But again, that's where you need to get somebody that is good at writing to check over it, or use a tool like Venture Planner, which will literally craft the executive summary for you. But I just don't think it's good enough to say, well, I'm not great at writing, so I'm just going to do my best. If you're pitching to an investor, you need to demonstrate that you are credible and you want to build trust. So again, it's about making sure that that executive summary is as good as it's going to be. Again, it's like if you're watching a film, that opening scene is the difference between you carrying on with the film or switching it off. So you need to make sure that that is compelling enough for people to want to engage more with the rest of the plan. And like I say, I am sympathetic if you're not the best writer, but in that case, get support from someone or a tool that can help you.
So what sort of people would you turn to then? If you've got your business plan, who would you turn to get it kind of sense checked? Where can people go for advice on that?
I think if you've got a mentor, then that's great. You know, it's good to look at support networks on platforms like LinkedIn, for example, network with people, see what help you can get there. Again, not everyone is fortunate enough to have a mentor at hand. I understand that, in which case then there's so many online resources that you can turn to. And again, I keep going back to Venture Planner, but that is the whole reason that we created the platform, is to support people that may not naturally or may not intuitively be able to put a plan together because, again, they're not experienced in the business planning field. It literally supports you and guides you through the whole process.
And I think a lot of people need that reassurance the first time, as like going back to your example when you first started your business, that actually if you had someone who'd looked at the plan with you and helped you sort of tighten things up and sense check everything that you've got in your plan, you can eliminate some of those things. And also, I think, put a kind of reality check on things, because it's very easy to get excited and think that your product's going to be of interest to everybody, and actually it won't. You're probably going to be targeting a very small niche.
That's it. You see it all the time, don't you, Fiona, on Dragon's Den, for example. You know, people remortgage their houses and they, you know, they literally put all of their life savings into this business idea, and the dragons turn around and say there just isn't a big enough market for this. And you know, the heartache that some of those businesses must go through, I do really feel for them. But I think it's a very real risk when you set up a business. It is very real. You can lose everything, again, if you don't have a clear roadmap for success. That's the reality of it.
And the statistics back that up when you look at the number of businesses that don't last beyond 1 year or 5 years. And
exactly.
There's a whole plethora of reasons behind that, but largely it will be because people haven't done their planning properly and have overestimated or overspent when they're starting their business, chucked too much money in the wrong places and not had a return on it.
Absolutely. But again, I'm perhaps going off on a little tangent here, but we spoke earlier about established businesses. And again, I do just want to stress, in my opinion, like I say, for the first 7 years of running our business, we did that one plan initially, and then didn't actually do one after that. Started to realise that actually we're making we're successful, but we're not as successful as we had hoped in the time scale that we expected.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's probably for the last 7 years now, because we've been in business 14 years. So the last 50% of the time we've been in business, we do one every single year.
Yeah.
And the last 5 years, we've seen the quickest growth that our businesses have ever seen. So again, that tells you something. And I think where you're not constantly updating the plan, again, using a real life example, you've got companies like Blockbuster Video. If you're old enough to have been around in the 90s, you'll know the story of Blockbuster Video. They didn't properly analyze the market. You know, you've got quicker technological advancements like Netflix out there that came in and just stole all of the business, and literally overnight, pretty much, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's because they didn't properly, clearly do a SWOT analysis to analyse those potential threats in light of the business landscape evolving and changing. Or maybe they did do a SWOT analysis, but someone in the room convinced everyone it would be okay. I don't know. But clearly it wasn't.
No, you know? Exactly. So we're saying that actually it's really important that it's not a one-off exercise, that it's a rolling process. You know, you've set yourself targets that you're going to achieve X amount of sales, you're going to attract however much in growth of new customers. Have you achieved that? If not, why not? What are we doing wrong? Yeah. What could we be doing better? Or in the case where actually you're doing better than planned, you know, how can we capitalize on that and do more of the same? And, you know, so yeah, go back.
Absolutely. And I also think as well, you know, with when you are doing a annual business plan, if you're in your growth stages, I think it's really important to share those plans with staff, if you have them, with team members, with stakeholders, with investors, because actually when we do create our annual business plan, we do formally share it with all of our employees at an annual team meeting.
Yeah.
And they absolutely love it. They feel like they're part of something. They feel like they understand where the business is going.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to do it not just for your own benefit, but to communicate it with any staff or other team members that you have as well. I think that's really useful.
And I think it's not just about the transparency, although that's great. It's also that as the business grows, you're not always at the coalface anymore. You know, and that actually sometimes you can say, well, we want to do this, but the people who are talking to the customers every day could say, well, actually, the feedback that we're receiving is that actually customers prefer X, or they would like us to do Y. And they can give you insights that you might not have if you're kind of removed from the day to day of the business and more involved in the strategic side.
That is so true, Fiona. Again, that's a thing that you see very often, don't you? Where the person that maybe started the business is almost detached and doesn't speak to the people that are seeing the customers day in, day out. And I think that's where businesses are in real danger. Whoever is at the forefront dealing with the customers, if there are customers, they need to be talking to the people that are putting the strategies in place. Because I think when you have that mismatch and that disconnect, again, that's where real problems can arise in a business.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, they can come up unexpected from behind. Blimey, so we've covered a lot of stuff there. What would you say are the three business plan mistakes that people need to avoid?
I would say the main three are neglecting market research and analysis. Again, I know I'm stressing and perhaps repeating what I said earlier, but if there is not a ready market for your product or service, it's not going to work. So having thorough market research and analysis, I think, is crucial. I also think that unrealistic financial projections is a big reason for failure. I think that's something to avoid. You need to make sure that financially there is a detailed plan in place and projections of how the product or service will be profitable.
Yep.
And then the third mistake to avoid, I would say, is again not adapting with the plan. Because if you start a business and 3 months in you quite quickly realize that something isn't going to plan or how you expected, you need to make sure that your plans are adaptable. If your plan is very rigid and it's got no room for flexibility, then again, I think that that's when you could be setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Before we let you go, Nicola, can you tell listeners where they can find you online and, more importantly, where they can find out more about Venture Planner?
Yes, of course. Well, me personally, I'm on LinkedIn, so if anyone has any questions, they can reach out to me. In terms of Venture Planner, then you can head over to the website, which is ventureplanner.ai. You can have a free trial as well for the software. And it is an amazing platform that is transformative, not just to startup businesses, but for established businesses as well. Because again, one of the things that we've brought up quite a few times throughout this, Fiona, is that even if you are a startup and you do see the importance of the plan, making sure that that plan is actually going to be useful and knowing what to put in the plan is another challenge. And the reason Venture Planner has been created is to support and help businesses to come up with not just any plan, but a very comprehensive one that is going to spot some of the holes that you as the business owner may have overlooked. And with the help of artificial intelligence, it really does craft it in a way that's specific and tailored to your individual business as well.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing tool, and I would certainly suggest people go and check it out, which is ventureplanner.ai.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Fiona. Thank you.
Well, I hope you found my chat with Nicola helpful. I know from the regular questions we get in our Facebook group that many would-be entrepreneurs find the thought of writing a business plan daunting. And I think Nicola's first-hand experience, which she shared with us here, demonstrates that it isn't always easy or straightforward, and that you might not get it right first time. That said, Nicola's advice, which we would echo here at Donut HQ, is that you shouldn't put off writing a business plan, even if you're only thinking about starting a little business on the side. The long and short of the matter is, writing a business plan is important for your business. It can help you spot the gaps in your thinking, and it lays out the direction of travel your business will take and can, if necessary, help you attract external funding that will help you start or grow your business. Without a plan, you could waste time, effort and money. We've pulled together some helpful tools and advice, including our essential guide to writing a business plan, which you'll find on the Startup Donut, in the summary notes which accompany this episode. You can find the summary notes at www.startyourownbusinesspodcast.co.uk. If you're enjoying the podcast, and I hope you are, please spread the word so we can help even more business owners start and run a business. Finally, I'd like to say another big thank you to our guest Nicola McKenzie of Venture Planner for making this episode possible. Until next time, all the best.